we gain faith from the Word of God and experiencing God's Word in our life. However, our faith can still grow as we hear how God has worked in the lives of others. And that's why we're going to be talking about some resources, 5 different books that I'm going to be recommending that I think will really encourage your faith. But as we go through this podcast, I want you to keep in mind that first and foremost, faith comes from hearing the Word of God, from being in the Word of God. And the reason that these amazing stories, which I'm going to be sharing in this podcast, are so amazing is because each one of the individuals themselves had learned faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And they had developed that personal relationship with Jesus that was willing to trust Jesus no matter the cost. And that's the kind of faith that we are praying that God will give each one of us. So with that in mind, are you ready for some more great inspiration? If so, well, let's buckle up the seatbelts and let's go. Welcome to Daring to Live by Every Word. My name is Melody Mason, and in this podcast, I will be talking about how we can apply God's Word in practical and relevant ways to our daily life. As I've heard it said, it's not about how many scriptures you know, but about how many you actually live that really matter. So grab your Bible and join me on today's journey as we open God's living Word. In this week's podcast, we're going to be talking more about how to grow our faith. And I have 2 Bible passages that I want us to reflect on as we begin the podcast. The first comes from Hebrews 10, verse 38, and it says very simply, "Now the just shall live by faith." The second Bible passage I want us to turn to is Luke 18, verse 18. And it says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Will he? That's a question I think that we each need to ask ourselves. Will he find faith in me when he returns? Well, this week's podcast is going to be rather simple and straightforward, but I hope inspiring as well. And I am calling it 5 Books to Grow Your Faith. Now, maybe you're not a huge book reader. I actually am, and I have several libraries worth of books. If you're in my house, you will see all those different stories and books that I have collected over the years to grow my walk with God and especially to grow my faith. And that is actually some of my very, very favorite books to read. It's just the stories of how God has worked in the lives of other people and growing their faith and their trust in Him. And my own courage and faith is strengthened as I listen to these stories, because I'm reminded if God did this for so-and-so, hey, we serve the same God today. He hasn't changed, right? We're told in Hebrews He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I know that I serve the same God, and He can do the same in my life as well. This last weekend, I took a flying trip over to Oklahoma City, and I was listening on my journey over there. It's about a 5-hour trip, listening to the book, God's Smuggler, the story of Brother Andrew, and how it encouraged my faith. In fact, as I was driving over there, I kind of got a late start due to everything that I was dealing with here in work, and some other complicating factors kind of came up in my trying to get away from home to head over to Oklahoma City. And so by the time I got over there, I kind of forgot. I was just so intent on getting there to fill up with gas before sundown. And so it was going a little bit later into Friday evening, and my gas tank was getting closer to empty, and I still had like 100 miles to go, something like that. And I was just like, Lord, you know, I don't want to buy gas on Sabbath. And, you know, I'm seeking to honor your word and honor the Sabbath. And I'm just praying that you would hold this gas tank in place and just keep it going, Lord, please. Do you know that for that last, I don't know what it was, 80, 100 miles, something like that, that the gauge on my gas tank never wavered. It never went any lower until I was about, oh, probably 20 miles away from my destination. Then it went down and the yellow light came on indicating you're almost out of gas. You need to get gas. And I'm thinking, Lord, you brought me this far. You're going to bring me the rest of the way. And you know what he did? I basically got into my destination on fumes. And as I was leaving to come home, I actually had my family and friends go with me to the gas station just down the road. To make sure I actually got there, because I wasn't even sure that I had enough gas in the tank to get to the station. And I put in the exact amount of gas into the van that the van actually holds. So I just say, praise the Lord. He answered my prayer and he performed a miracle just on that trip. And incidentally, as I said, on that trip, I was listening to the story God Smuggler by Brother Andrew. Well, you know, as I said for this podcast, I'm going to share about five books that I believe will really grow your faith. And the first one was God Smuggler. If you haven't heard the story, it is just testimony after testimony about this young man from Holland who he had a radical conversion, actually. And if you think God can't use you, let me tell you, Brother Andrew, I had forgotten this actually. Brother Andrew actually was running away from God. He wasn't interested in spiritual things. He got caught up in the military and the war and was fighting in the war and actually was out on the battlefield taking lives just like all the other soldiers. And God got a hold of him and turned his life around. And he knew, you know, that he had been totally living in disregard to God. He'd been drinking and all these different things. And yet God got a hold of this man in the pit of despair who's basically, you know, been taking the lives of others and turned his life around to save the life of others. And specifically behind the Iron Curtain, you know, when Russia was still very, very difficult spiritually to get materials, the Iron Curtain, you know, to get materials and especially Bibles into the country. And there's this whole block of countries in Eastern Europe that were under the communist rule. And those countries included Yugoslavia and Czechoslovakia and Bulgaria and Romania. And Brother Andrew has story after story how God got him across the border with these Bibles. And I'll just share one illustration. I'm not going to give the stories away because you got to get the book. You've got to read the book for yourself. It will grow your faith in such a powerful way. But he's approaching this border and all the cars in front of him are being thoroughly searched. And he's like, Lord, you know, there's no way if they rip apart my car like they're doing everyone else, they're going to find all these Bibles. I've got hundreds of Bibles hidden in my car and they're going to find him. And he just started praying, Lord, just make, you know, you made blind eyes see. Well, I'm asking you to make seeing eyes blind. Just close their eyes and help them not to see. And so he actually took some Bibles from the back of his car and put them on the front seat and just decided, you know, God's going to make the seeing eyes blind and I'm just going to go in with these books in broad daylight. And do you know that God did exactly that? He blinded the eyes of the guards. They saw the Bibles. They didn't say anything. It's like they didn't even see them. And God helped him across the border. Well, that whole book is story after story about God's miraculous provision as Brother Andrew sought to live by faith. And as I was listening to his story on my trip last weekend, I was really reminded of, you know, I haven't been on any of those adventures or walked that radical of of a faith journey, you know, smuggling Bibles across, you know, these forbidden borders. But I do remember a couple instances that happened in my life. One time I was working with one of my best friends, Julia O'Carey, with the ASAP Ministries, and we were doing Bible training and Bible worker training, I should say, in a closed country, a country which is more difficult for religious workers, and there's spiritual persecution. And we actually, while we were there, of course, we went in with our full luggage of stuff, and you know, we were gone traveling for like a month or something. I don't remember how long it was, but it was a few weeks. And so we had our luggage with all our own personal supplies, and each of us were carrying, I think, about a 50-pound bag, something like that. But while we were in this country, we realized we needed to get some Bibles in the country to take to refugees that we have here back in the States. And refugees from this country, you know, we can't find Bibles in the United States in this language. And so we got about 50 pounds of Bibles, and we divided them up between us in our two luggage. And now each of our suitcases were weighing about 80 pounds each. And I was just like, there's no way we're going to get out of the country with these Bibles. Our luggage is too heavy. Well, my friend Julia, she was so amazing, and her sweet faith was such an inspiration to me. As we were going to the airport to fly out, before we got into the airport, she said, "Lord, you've helped us before, and we're trusting that you'll help us again. And we are asking that when we put our luggage on the scales, that it won't be overweight." And would you believe, when we put our suitcases on the scales, each of our suitcases weighed 50 pounds. Now, how's that possible? We're both flying with 50 pounds of our own luggage, plus an additional 50 pounds between us of Bibles. And yet, our luggage was exactly the weight it was supposed to be to fly out of the country. And all I can say is, praise God, those angels were lifting our suitcases when they went on the scale so that the true weight was not there. So praise the Lord. There was another circumstance that happened just a couple years ago where I was flying into a country, and it wasn't illegal to bring spiritual books into the country, but they would, if you brought anything in other than your personal belongings, they would tax you heavily, because they assumed you would sell or things like that, and they didn't want you making any money off of their people. And so it would be a big fine or a big tax for me if the books that I was bringing into the country were discovered. And I had a whole suitcase of my books, Daring to Ask for More, that I was bringing into this specific country. And every person in front of me, the guards, as I was coming through customs at the airport after I landed, and I had my personal luggage, and then I had this suitcase that was just crammed full of books. And every suitcase, you know, in front of me, they were opening and they were searching and they were looking. And I was just like, "Lord, you got to get these books into this country. I can't afford to pay the fee and the tax and everything that they're going to ask. And I'm not selling them. I'm here to give them away to your church and your people. So you have to safeguard your books." Do you know, when it came to me, I plopped my big heavy suitcase up on the conveyor belt in front of the customs officer. And he looks at me and asks where I'm coming from, and asks if I'm bringing anything in for anyone. And I said, "Yes, I'm bringing some books." And he just looks at me like, "Books? Okay, whatever. Have a good time." And he sends me on my way. He does not even open my suitcase. And I'm like, oh my word, look at what God just did. So anyway, that's two little stories of my own. Nothing, of course, significant like Brother Andrew, but as I was listening to Brother Andrew last week, and I was thinking, you know, I've seen God work in my own behalf, and I know that He will more in my life if I will truly, you know, throw my weight upon His word and truly trust Him. The second book I wanted to tell you about is called The Heavenly Man, The Remarkable True Story of Brother Yoon by Paul Hadaway. The Heavenly Man is another amazing, amazing testimony. And this testimony is actually more recent. Actually, God Smuggler isn't that far back either. It's happened, you know, over the last 50 years or so. But the Heavenly Man is something that's happened even more recently, and Brother Yun is actually still alive. Brother Yun grew up in communist China, where it was illegal to own a Bible. And his family didn't even have a Bible, but he heard stories about the Bible and how God had worked and the stories, you know, and the miracles. And so he grew up just praying and pleading with God that God would give him a Bible. And of course, where he was in communist China, it was very dangerous for someone to have a Bible. You know, they could be killed, they could be imprisoned. It was illegal. Well, as he got older, you know, he's still a young man, he was so insistent that God give him a Bible that he started fasting and praying. And when I say fasting, he limited himself to one bowl of rice a day, and he was just praying and praying and praying. And he fasted and prayed for 100 days, crying out to God for a Bible. And his family thought he was going to lose his mind. And they're like, "You need to eat." And he's like, "No, I'm not eating more until, you know, God sends me a Bible." Well, on the 100th day, there was a knock at the door late at night. And an old man was there with a loaf of bread. And he gave it to Brother Yun. He says, "God told me to bring this to you." So Brother Yun took the loaf of bread, and guess what was in the loaf of bread? It was the living bread. He opened the loaf of bread, and inside was a little Bible that man had dug up from his own personal Bible that he had hidden, and he had been told by God to bring it to Brother Yun. Well, Brother Yun at the time was not able to read yet. He had not had more than, I think, a third grade education or something like that. But he painfully, slowly taught himself to read those Chinese characters and those Chinese letters and began to read the Bible. And then he began to memorize the Bible. And then, of course, the Bible was changing his life. And so he began to preach the Bible and share the Bible. Well, now he's starting to raise, of course, the attention of the authorities, right? And so he begins to get, you know, arrested and harassed and arrested. But, you know, every time he got arrested, you know, God delivered him and he got out of prison. Well, this story went on for a number of years, and he planted house church after house church. Amazing miracles. I'm not going to spill all the stories, but I do have to share one amazing miracle that happened towards the end of the book. He had been arrested so many times, Brother Yun had, that the authorities finally caught him again and decided that they're going to make sure he was never able to get free again. And they broke his legs, they crushed his legs, and they locked him up in this maximum security prison there in China. And in this prison, no one had ever escaped, and so they knew he would never get away. And it was a miserable existence for Brother Yun. You know, now his legs were crushed, he couldn't walk, and he had to be drugged everywhere that he needed to go. And you can imagine the pain and the suffering and everything that he was dealing with. Yet his courage was undaunted, and he would not let go of God. He continued to praise the Lord and seek the Lord and trust the Lord. Well, after a period of time, I don't remember how long it was, he felt the Lord telling him it's time to get up and leave the prison. And without even realizing what was happening, he did. He got up and he walked out of the room where he was staying, and the door opened, and he went down the hall and he passed a security guard. It's like the security guard didn't even see him, and he walked out, and another door opened, and he walked down from there. And then the door opened in the courtyard, and he walked into the courtyard, and the main gates of the prison opened. And here he was on the street in front of the prison, and he quickly ran to safety and found a place to hide and got away. And do you know, he did not even realize until he got out of the prison that he was walking on healed legs. He was so intent on following the voice of God that he didn't realize his legs had been healed. And then he looked down and he realized, "I'm walking, God healed me." Well, he was the first person that ever escaped from that maximum security prison in China. And wow, what an amazing testimony. And he today is still seeking to spread the good news of what God longs to do, the gift of salvation in the lives of all. The third book is by, it's about the story of a personal friend of mine. It's called One Miracle After Another, the Pavel Goya Story. And I am so excited because, well, let me tell you a secret. Pavel Goya is about to release another book. I'm not going to tell you the name of it yet, but in the next few months, there's going to be another book out by Pavel Goya. And let me just tell you, if you haven't read One Miracle After Another, you need to get this book. Seeing how God protected Pavel, how God led Pavel, how God took care of Pavel, it's just a miracle. Such an amazing testimony of faith. Even when he was called into the military and he's seeking to honor God and honor the Sabbath, miracle after miracle. The fourth book is also about a family who I have gotten to be friends with, some of the grandchildren, and that is the book called A Thousand Shall Fall by Susie Hassel Mundy. And the Hassel family are just amazing. Of course, the man who the story is written about has passed away, and most of his, I think his children have as well. But the grandchildren, actually, I have been blessed to know. And God has just worked in the Hassel family. You know, the story of A Thousand Shall Fall took place during World War II in Germany when, the Nazis were controlling the country, and basically people, pastors and church leaders and everyone, were called into the military, whether they liked it or not. And this one young man, Franz Hassel, was just determined in his heart that he was not going to kill. And so he and the military decided he was going to carry a fake gun instead of the real gun because he did not ever want to be tempted to kill. And do you know that battle after battle, as they traveled during the war, God protected this man. And there were about, I think, 1,200 in his platoon when they started the war. And of those 1,200, I think there were about 12 that actually ended the war and that were alive. And he was one of the only ones who had had no injury in the entire war. And God, of course, spared his life and kept him safe. And he carried no gun, no weapon. It looked like he had, but it was actually just a fake pistol that he had carved to put in his belt. Well, there's miracle after miracle in that book as well that have really boosted my faith more than anything. How God took care of his family, how, he supplied their needs even though they refused to join the Communist Party, the Nazi Party. Just amazing. I love that testimony. There's an ongoing miracle testimony that's in progress right now, and you can read some of that testimony in a book called Live Like Elijah, and it's by Pastor Don McLafferty. Pastor Don McLafferty and his wife April are also dear friends of mine, and their testimony and how they have chosen just in the last, in the last 10 years to really branch out by faith and say, Lord, we're gonna follow you. We're not going to take a salary anymore. Our income is dedicated to you. You're going to have to provide for our needs. Show us where you want us to go. Show us what you want us to do. And they've been seeking to do that and how God has provided for them. He led them to Canada. He led them to the border. They traveled 1,000 miles with a full U-Haul to move into Canada because God called them to do that, but they had no paperwork to get into Canada. And yet God got him across the border into Canada. And then once they were up there, they needed a house to stay in and they had no money for the house. And yet God provided a house. And if you listen, if you take any time to listen to Pastor Don, he has miracle after miracle of stories to share. And even right now, those miracles are continuing. And it's just, their testimony has been such a huge inspiration to me just in the last few months. Again, the book is called Live Like Elijah. You can't actually find it on Amazon, I don't think. But if you look at the website In Discipleship, indiscipleship.org, you can find this book for free download. So anyway, those are the five books I wanted to share on this week's podcast. And, you know, I gave you a little tidbit of the stories. Again, I don't want to spill the beans on those stories. I want you to go and read them for yourself to grow your faith. So those books are in review: God's Smuggler, The Story of Brother Andrew, The Heavenly Man, The Remarkable True Story of Brother Yoon, One Miracle After Another, The Pavel Goya Story, A Thousand Shall Fall, The Franz Hasel Story, and Live Like Elijah with Don McLafferty. So I pray that those recommendations are a huge blessing to you. I know they will be if you will take the time to read them or to get them in audio form. And let's just pray that God would continue to grow our faith, and that when He returns, He truly will find faith in our homes and in our hearts on the earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you are the God that you are. You have not changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, you're coming soon, and we see the signs all around us, and you want to grow our faith. You want to grow us to a closer walk with you. And so, Lord, you know, it's kind of scary to say grow my faith, because if we pray grow our faith, we know that we're going to be tested and we're going to be tried and we're going to have opportunities to grow our faith. But Lord, that's what I'm praying that you would do in the lives of each one that's listening, and in my life as well, Lord. I choose to give myself to you, my heart to you. You know, I haven't arrived. Well, I'm on the journey just like each one that's listening. But I want to have that faith when you come back, that you will find faith in Melody's home and in Melody's heart. And I pray that for each one listening as well. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. We love you, Lord. We can't wait to see you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me for this episode of Daring to Live by Every Word. Dear friend, our Heavenly Father is just waiting to make His forever home with you. In John 14, verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." In Revelation 3, verse 20, we are told, "He is standing at the door knocking, even now." My prayer is that you will not delay another day, but open the door of your heart to Jesus right now. For more information on how to grow your walk with Jesus, visit daringtolivebyeveryword.com. I look forward to seeing you next time on the next episode of Daring to Live by Every Word.